This is KNPR and KNPR.org. I'm Rick Andrews. Nevada had a few links to Jimmy Carter. Here's Senator Richard Bryan with Nevada Yesterdays.
As the story went, reported by Mark Twain,
in the name of the people of the United States, to whom you bold and armed.
The stage is set in Nevada for the 35th nuclear explosion. Donald Campbell, the fastest man on water on Lake Mead, Nevada.
No president has lived as long as Jimmy Carter or was an ex-president longer. He died last month at 100, almost 44 years after leaving the White House. He left a great legacy, from Habitat for Humanity to the Camp David Accords. He also had some interesting ties to Nevada history. When Carter ran for president in 1976, one of his challengers was from the state next door, California Governor Jerry Brown. His father, Pat Brown, had been governor at the same time that Nevada's governor was Grant Sawyer. They had a close personal relationship. Both of them lost their bids for third terms in 1966. Brown to Ronald Reagan, Sawyer to Paul Laxalt. Laxalt and Reagan developed a close personal relationship as well. Sawyer was unimpressed with Jerry Brown and chaired Carter's Nevada campaign. The co-chairs of Brown's campaign in Nevada were Betty Sawyer, the former governor's wife, and Ralph Denton, one of his closest friends. For what it's worth, Brown easily won the Nevada primary, but Carter won the nomination. His opponent, President Gerald Ford, overcame Ronald Reagan's challenge in the Republican nomination fight. When they faced off for the general election, Ford won Nevada's electoral votes, but Carter won the presidency. Carter took office with close connections to Nevada. The Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies has organized these events since 1901. In 1977, the chair was Howard Cannon, the senior senator from Nevada. He and Carter enjoyed a good relationship. Cannon also was the architect of one of Carter's favorite and most important achievements, the Airline Deregulation Act of 1978, which was designed to encourage more markets and carriers while maintaining safety. Cannon was a big proponent of a strong national defense. In 1978, Carter backed the MX missile system. The MX would be located mainly in the Nevada and Utah desert and move via railroad tracks. The underlying theory was that by moving constantly, the Soviets would have difficulty at any time locating where the actual missile was. Carter was unable to get the MX project off the ground, and it encountered a lot of opposition in Nevada. Cannon was also a key vote in the Carter administration priority, completing the turnover of the Panama Canal to Panama. Reagan made it a major issue, and Laxalt, then a senator, helped lead the Senate opposition to the treaty. Republicans attacked Cannon for supporting it, and it was a factor in defeating Cannon for his fifth term in 1982. By then, Carter had lost his re-election bid and began what many consider an incredible post-presidency. He continued to speak out on the issues. In 1988, he delivered the Barrack Lecture at UNLV and didn't have many nice things to say about Reagan's foreign policy. He returned to the state in 2001 on a book tour. In 2006, Carter returned to Nevada for a different reason. He campaigned for his son Jack, who challenged John Ensign for his second term in the Senate. Ensign won easily. It's amazing to think that Jimmy Carter was 82 when he campaigned here for his son, and he lived another 18 years. As we look back at his efforts to promote new energy initiatives and human rights, we remember a consequential president and a consequential ex-president. This is Senator Richard Bryan, urging you to join me next time for more Nevada Yesterdays.
Nevada Yesterdays is written by UNLV history professor Michael Green and is supported by Nevada Humanities.